This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. Al-yawm 27 min shahri شوال 1444 الموافق ل 18 من شهر مايو 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين So inshallah, today we continue from where we stopped last time. I guess we just started talking about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. We talk about the word tasbih and the relationship between tasbih and the risk that people are getting in this life, where we manage, alhamdulillah, to quote from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which is enough for everyone who is looking for success in life, to be convinced and to do that which is right in order to attain the proper risk. And if you remember, we mentioned that it's all about the trust. You trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get the result. You don't trust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you with your belief. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi, أنا عند ظني عبدي بي. I'm always according to the expectation of my slave of me. So what does that mean? You have good expectation about Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you in that way. So always be optimistic. No, when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not dealing with the creation. Be optimistic. You Allah. Nothing is difficult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He created the heavens and the earth. And he says, في ستة أيام وما مسنا من لغوب. He says, we never get affected and troubled with the physical weaknesses and fatigue and weariness and all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, you talk about others, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he created whatever he created without getting tired of that. You know, he took care of everything without getting tired or exhausted. Yeah, that's Rabbul Alameen. So you should always be optimistic when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time also, be good. Yani, as the poet says, تَرْجُ النَّجَاةَ وَلَمْ تَسْلُكْ طَرِيقَتَهَا إِنَّ السَّفِينَةَ لَا تَجْرِي عَلَى الْيَبَسِ. You always want to succeed, but you never follow the path of success. You should know that a ship never move on a dry place. You need to provide a sea and water for it to move. Nuh alayhi salam, Allah asked him to build a ship. Where? Next to the sea? No, in the middle of the city. The ship was flying in the air? No. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah did not change the system. He has the power to change the system, but he did not do. He provided a platform for the sheep to move. Water from up and down. The ship went up and moved from that direction. So he says, you are looking for success, but you never, use the path to the success. He says, you should know that ship usually don't work in a place that are dry. You need to provide a platform for them to move. So the platform for success is supposed to be used. Right, the platform for the success has to be used, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَا. Whoever wants the akhirah and works for it. Yeah, I love this one so much, because there are some people who are sleeping. They want good to come to them. No, it doesn't go like that. You move, you talk to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that which you are looking for. Allah wants you to put a little bit of sabab. The rest is a last job, right? He says, وَأَدُّ لَهُمْ مَسَّطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ. You know, just prepare what you can. He was talking to the Prophet and some of the companions. You prepare what you can. in every battle of the Prophet against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in almost every battle, the enemies are more than the Prophet's army. And they're well equipped. Who was winning? He was the one who was winning. Every time he was winning. Why is that? Because he had prepared what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do. The rest is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's job. That's why during the Battle of Badr, they were 1,000 and the Prophet was only 300. He took the sand and then he threw it to the enemies. He said, Shahat al-wujuh. May Allah curse the faces. You know, the hand of the Prophet is just normal hand. Right. Just a normal hand. When he threw the sand, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it more. It went into the eyes of each and every one of them. Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Yeah. To know that Allah is always in control. Iwallah. He's always in control. He sent the angels to fight with the Prophet ﷺ during the Battle of Badr. And he says, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَ لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only told you about these angels coming to fight alongside with you just to give you a good news and to give you comfort. But he says, مَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Victory is always at the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, it's a matter of the trust you put effort and you talk on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust me, my dear brothers, you will see the result, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, dear brothers and sisters, you will see the result. Yeah. If you have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is supported by effort and action, inshallah, you will reach your goals. So, tasbih, subhanallah, is the key to attain rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tusabbihu lahu samawati sab'u wal ardu wa man fihin. Wa in min shay'in illa yusabbihu bihamdihi walakin la tafqahuna tasbihahum. So I really urge us to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he should be remembered. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهَدِ. When you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would you do? Raise up your voice and shout? No. Allah in the Quran says, you do it تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهَدِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ. Allah wants you to do it moderately. Don't raise up your voice and don't make it very low. Nowadays we put loudspeakers, we put so many things, but Allah wants you to. Yeah, there are certain type of dhikr that we make them very loud. Like what? Adhan, iqama. Yeah, this is the one that. Adhan and iqama. Yeah, other than that, Allah wants you to cool down. You reflect. You ponder upon what you are saying. You make sure you understand what you are saying. Just even if you don't understand, but you reflect upon that which you're saying. You know what you are talking about. And inshallah you will see the result. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Aqribun Rabbuna Fanunadi, Ba'idun Rabbuna Fanunadi, Am Qaribun Fanunaji. Our Lord, is he too far from us, so we need to call him? Because you call somebody who is too far. Shout and call him. Am qaribun fanunaji. Oh, he is closer to us. Then we just go for munajah. Munajah is a secret conversation with somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When they ask you about me, tell them I am closer to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to us. He says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. ولكن لا تشعرون أن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. In حبل الوريد, some says this is the vein here. No, that one is connected with you. Allah says is closer to you than this. بعلمه, with his knowledge. According to the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala على العرش استوى. He do the istiwa on the arsh, but his knowledge encompasses everyone. His ma'iyya, you have ma'iyya khasa and ma'iyya amma. Allah is with everyone, with his knowledge. You get it? With his knowledge, he is with everyone. With everyone, this is general ma'iyya. And you have the specific kind of ma'iyya, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with the best and the good one and the Muslims. That's the ma'iyya of support and helping, you know, and also guiding and putting them in the right way, guiding them, you know, to make sure that they never tilt or go astray and they do things in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with. So back to the tafsir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Allah commanded us to praise and to glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our Rabb. وَالرَّبْ هُوَ الْخَالِقْ الْمَالِكْ الْمُدَبِّرْ. That's الرَّبْ. الرَّبُّ, the word الرَّبْ means the creator and the owner and the controller. Yeah, this is the meaning of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah means to believe that Allah creates and He owns and He controls. Yeah, and if you have the correct faith in this and you believe in all of these three components of the Rububiyyah, you might not need the rest of the Tawheed. Yeah, because you will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without associating partner with you. Even the first one is more than enough. To get an idea, we need all of them, all the three. And I'm just saying, even the first one, if a person understands it correctly, it is more than enough. Because if you believe that Allah creates you, you have to believe that you are owned by Him. That's common sense. And if He owns us, that means He is the only one who has a right to control our life. That means instruction is only from Him. I follow Him. I don't say no to Him. Yeah, just like the concept of slaves that we have here. A slave follows whatever the master is telling him. But now we are dealing with the creator. If the slave is not created by that person, but he follows everything he asks him to do and he has to, but us, we are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some scholars said this is the meaning of the saying of Allah, مَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. The vast majority of those people, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do exist, but they still commit shirk. Yeah, the past, you know, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and the most powerful, but at the same time, they're committing shirk because they don't have the correct belief in the Tawheed of Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it will be enough actually to guide them toward the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah and the Tawheed al-Asma wa al-Sifat. So that's the meaning of Ar-Rabb. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to glorify His name, Al-A'la, the greatest, the one who is on top of everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. You know, الأول والآخر والظاهر الذي ليس فوقه شيء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الظاهر, the one that there is nobody on top of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the facts that He taught us in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli shay, wa fawqa kulli shay, ululahi ala khalqihi. Nobody is on top of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why this is part of our fitrah. Your child at home who never been taught anything, if you ask him, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you here? He will tell you, no, it's up. Where is Allah? They will tell you. Like that Jariya, where is Allah? She said, up. This is part of our nature. When we make dua also, we raise our hand up. Nobody ever do it down. You know? Put it up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went for Isra wal Mi'raj. Where did he go? Up. To a place he did not see Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to a place where He met him in that place. SubhanAllah. He spoke to him in that place. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-A'la, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on top of everyone. Believing in this name is necessary to avoid oppression on earth. Allah, because no matter how much a person is arrogant, if he understands this properly, he's going to cool down. Why are you arrogant? Why a person is arrogant, you know? So on earth, one of the strangest behavior and funny behavior actually is arrogance. You know? Very funny. to see a human being arrogant is so funny. Because look at human beings, you know. Just look at me. And I want to call us, what do you call? I don't know. I'm trying to find a word that describes a weakness, you know. So just look at the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those that exist with us, much powerful than us. You know, they're more powerful than us. If you go to those planets that we are told by the scientists, you know, compare those planets with our planets, you know. And we are inside this one. The whole planet is so tiny, you know, we are inside. And then somebody is arrogant, you know. As one of our friends says, he says, technically, if you make that comparison, technically, it's like we don't exist. Yeah, because when you look at us and you look at the whole planet, you know, and you look at some of those stars, it's like we are not here, you know. We're, and then this is the guy who will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man ashaddu minna quwwa, hi wallah. Allah, ignorance is really bad. Allah. You say that to human beings is enough as something that is bad. But if I had a person coming to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can force us to do what we don't want to do. And he's speaking to Allah, you know. Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Nobody is stronger than us. And whoever stands in our way, we break it. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. All of them, none of them escaped the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them a very nice lesson. They were so arrogant, but they were destroyed by one of the weakest, you know, in terms of, you know, power, weakest army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went to them. Cut them all. Nobody lived among them. So what happened to the quwwa? What happened to the power then? That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, be humble in your life. You will lie. Don't you ever be arrogant in your life. Be humble. Come down. Don't accept disrespect. Yeah, but at the same time, don't be arrogant. Be very humble, well-mannered, live with people in a good way, you know, behave well, but be humble. Say salam to everyone. Look for good for everyone. Be a very simple person. Don't be unapproachable, whereby people, for them to come closer to you, they have to encounter difficulty. Rasulullah is not like that. Very simple person. Kids reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Big people reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers, sisters, you know. And subhanAllah, to show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so humble, they said there was a sister in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to come and hold his hand. They say she has some deficiency in the aql. Yeah. So that nobody will come nowadays and tell us touching the opposite gender is halal. There are some people who are using this. They say, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing this. That means it's okay for you to shake hands, for you to say salam, for you to do this and that. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that, as Aisha said. But they mentioned that this woman used to come, she has problem in the aql. You get it? So she used to come and catch the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and drag him with her. And he follows her. Okay, what do you want? Give her what she wants and then he will leave. As Rasulullah, he met a boy crying, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat with him. He was making jokes. Ya Aba Umayr, ماذا فعل النغير? You know, he even gave him a kunya. This is a little boy. He called him Abu Umayr. It's like the father of Umayr. The boy has a child, has, you know. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's the most approachable person to everyone. That's why he was able to convince everyone. Nobody is upset, you know. When he dies, everyone is upset. You know? Nobody was upset with him. But when he dies, the dunya was not a good place for people. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, they feel that what left for us, you know. So subhanAllah, these manahij, you know, we got them from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but unfortunately, we're not applying them. So the point is, please observe this and spread it, you know, because nowadays we see a lot of, you know, arrogance in people. Arrogance because of what? Wealth, a lot. Rich, then he became so arrogant. Arrogance because of job. Certain job, you know, he became arrogant. Arrogance because of the title. He used to say salam to people, but now, since he is a doctor, now no more salam to anyone. Yeah. No, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. You remain in the way you are. Let people respect you because of who you are, your manners and your attitude. Yeah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advises us to keep things in the way they are. Scholars, yes, they have to be respected. But at the same time, also scholars must be humble. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَلَا يَعْرِفُ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. The one who does not respect our elders, and the one who does not respect our scholars, and the one who does not show mercy to the younger ones, is not one of us. You know, these values exist. You are a scholar. You are the best person on earth, the most knowledgeable person on earth, if that person exists. You get it? Let's say you are that person, but this man is older than you. Respect should be there also at the same time. You can't just be harsh. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when the father of Abu Bakr accepted Islam, you know, and before he accepted Islam, Abu Bakr brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is my father wanting to accept Islam from you. And he was too old, you know, very difficult for him to come to the place, but Abu Bakr brought him. Why did he bring him? Because this is Rasulullah. I can't just take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our house. He should come. He's the one who is in need. You know? But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very annoyed with Abu Bakr. He says, what is that? At Sheikh, you really, pressure Sheikh a lot. He says, why didn't you tell me? You just tell me, then we go to him. He doesn't need to come here. SubhanAllah. These are adabs and manners the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us. And nowadays, we don't have this. You see, disrespect between the young people don't have respect to the elders. Hey, Allah, the way we look at them, you know, the way you see the look that is given to him, you know that there is no respect between them. And all this also, not showing mercy to the younger ones, you know. SubhanAllah. So, humility and humbleness is always good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. So arrogance, if you take it and put it on yourself, the punishment is severe. Because the only one who acts in this way is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kibriya is only Allah's sifa. Nobody is allowed to take it. Well, is, you know, putting yourself on top of everyone, this is only Allah's attribute. If a person takes it and put it on himself, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be humble. Respect ourselves, humble. Don't open the door for somebody to disrespect you, but at the same time, be humble. Be humble. Respect everyone who deserve to be respected. He says, مَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. You never humble yourself except that Allah is going to elevate you in ranking. Yeah. You never bring yourself down. Allah is going to usually elevate you in ranking. People watch will know. You know, if you are a rais, if you are a president or prime minister or governor or a leader, head of a department, head of a ministry, dean, rector, or whoever you are leading, you know, if you don't show that mercy and humility and humbleness, people are watching. The respect you are getting is just because of that title. The moment it is removed, you become a normal person. And if you are going to be a normal person, that's good. But usually, in most instances, people will start disrespecting you. Why? Because they used to respect you just because of that title, and now it is gone. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. And whatever you get of the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah promised anything that is of this dunya, it goes up, Allah will bring it down. There will be a time where Allah SWT will bring it down. The only thing that keeps going up, as long as you don't change, is al-amal lil-deen, matters of the akhirah. Allati khalaqa fasawwa. Who is that Allah SWT asks you to glorify? So he described himself. He said, Al-A'la, Allah SWT is on top of everyone, the creator of everyone, including those images and idols and whatever somebody is worshipping is also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says, Alladhi khalaqa fasawwa, the one who created everyone and fixed the creation of everyone. Taswit al-khalq means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everyone at the best form of creation. And we human beings, Allah said, He laqad khalaqna al-insana fi أحسن تقويم. Nowadays they tell you خلق الإنسان في أسوأ تقويم. You are the one who is changing. Just making a decision on how do you want to look and how do you want to behave. Yeah. Subhanallah. This is life nowadays. So Allah SWT created a people, the best form of creation. Any person who is thinking of changing the way Allah SWT created him, trust me, this person is sick. Ewallah, is sick. It's a disease. Yeah, it is. A person needs a medication. Yeah, person who doesn't believe that he's okay, you know, he has a disease that needs medication. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yahdina wa iyyahu. Alladhi khalaqa fasawwa, walladhi qaddara fahada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddara al-maqadir. Kullaha. And also Allah SWT to provide guidance. So He creates people. And then Qaddar al-Maqadir. Maqadir kulla shay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided everyone towards that which He prescribed for us. It's ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ النَّجْدَانِ طَرِيقَ الْخَيْرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He did not leave us use our own aql to choose what we want to choose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you a system. Tells you this is good, this is bad. If you follow this way, you will succeed. If you follow this way, you will fail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Imma inna hadaynahu as-sabila imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Yeah. That human beings, you know, need no explanation, you know, who we are. The good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't want. We want to replace it with something else, which is made by us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told those predecessors of ours, you know, who chose the low quality one over the best quality given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ. So Allah has chosen for us the best, but unfortunately, we're choosing what we think to be the best. That's why the quality of life is gone in this time of ours. You know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddar. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddar مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلْقِ وَمَقَادِيرَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَهَدَى. And then He guided, you know, human beings towards that which He, prescribed for everyone. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةِ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed the maqadir of the khalq. Everything that is going to happen until the day of judgment has already been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, you know, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Everything is already fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we always say, according to the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there is no coincidence in the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. You say, if it is okay for you to say that, but with Allah, no. Everything is planned, and everything has a purpose, everything has objective, and there is a wisdom behind doing everything. Whether we see it, we don't see it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't play a game. Everything has its own wisdom. So when he creates based on the wisdom. Qaddar, qaddar, based on the wisdom. And the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only accurate taqdeer. If you want accuracy, then a person has to base whatever you are doing of the plan to be based on the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means you plan your plan, but you know and you believe that the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going to be executed first. That's why you might get yours being done if that coincides with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already planned. Or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to take place if yours is not like that. Then you just have to submit. Yeah, those who don't agree with this submission, these are the ones that lives in depression, and Allah will never stop doing what he planned to do. He will do his, and the person will remain depressed throughout his life, and Allah will never change. For inna Allah la mukriha lahu. Yeah. Some people will say, Allahumma firli in shit. Again, yeah, Allah, forgive me if you want. A'udhu billah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, liya'azim ahadukum fi al-mas'ala. Inna Allah la mukriha lahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own plan, and nobody can force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change whatever he planned. Even the dua that we do, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yaridu al-qadara illa al-dua. And he says, man arada an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi umrihi falyasal rahimahu. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you expansion in risk? You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you extension of the age? You should do the silat al-rahim. Yeah, you should do the silat al-rahim. Nowadays, silat al-rahim has been replaced with the phones, you know. Good ones call and say salam, you know. Others, no. The disease of the time. I don't know whether maybe I'm the only one who is looking at this, but I found it, as I said, a disease. Sometimes I do a test. I see all of us, everyone on the way is holding the phone, you know. Last time, I don't know whether I told you, I was just still, I told myself, let me test people. I was outside our beloved masjid coming to my home, Kulliyah Huna. Then I said, let me see how many of us are just walking this normal without reading the messages on the way. And it's subhanAllah, I see like everyone on the message. And I told myself, this cannot be healthy, you know, in life. Cannot be healthy. The ummah, all of us are just walking with this cannot be healthy. Except two, three, I think. Yeah. Two people walking together and one person. That person, I already know that I'm not going to see him with phone. Because that one, I thought actually he doesn't even have phone in his life. Until the time he called me. So, subhanAllah, this is the kind of life we're living. And subhanAllah, wallahi, I see it, you know, as epidemic. Yeah, it takes our time and it takes our life and it takes our focus. Yeah, it becomes part, an integral part of us. It's like you cannot live if you don't have it with you on your hand. You feel so deficient. I remember a person, you know, he lost his phone. And I'm told that he was depressed and on and on and on, you know. And subhanAllah, I have the ability to help. But when I know that, yes, he was depressed, I told him, no, I'm not going to help with single cent. I want him to live without phone, to understand that life is more beyond, far beyond this. So that's how we should do it. I really advise myself, and I advise everyone also to try your best not to attach yourself to these devices that are coming. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have them if we use them properly. But I think life is far beyond that. Don't make your life every single time you're on. Please have some other time, you know. Yeah. Have family. If you're not married, marry. You and your wife sit down and talk. You Allah. Spend all the time together, you know. have a friend go and play football, Ryan. I think you have a table tennis team, right? Yeah, go and... You will lie. These are much greater than wasting. I call it wasting time, you know. Yeah, unless if you're giving some fatwa or you're doing some business, really making a business which is part of your earning, yeah, there's no problem. This is part of your life. You and the one who's in the shop is almost the same. But in the normal circumstances, when I see younger people who I know, we don't have anything, it's just chatting and wasting time, you know. It's your time, you know, which has value more than what you are expecting, you know. So the Prophet said, if you want to your age to be increased, you should do the Silat al-Rahim. So if you look at it literally, it means that, yeah, instead of 100 years, maybe you go for 150, 120. Yeah, that's what some scholars said. Yeah, it will increase physically. And they use the story of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam gave his age donation to his son, Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from 60 to 100. He gave him 40. When death approached him and the angel told him, you have to leave now. He said, I still have 40 more years. They said, you gave it to your son, Dawood. He said, when did I give mine? Nobody wants to die. Yeah. So some scholars said it is like this. But wallahu alam, it's more related to the barakah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he has a nice justification concerning this dua and the qadr issue. Rasulullah said, nothing can stop qadr except dua. But he says, what happens is like, it's not that the qadr is being changed at that time. Whenever you make dua, the qadr is changed. And I guess everyone should understand what he is understanding also. Otherwise, every time I don't want to die. Allah don't take my life until... And then Allah will change it. No. It is not like that. You see, what happened is, the dua that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already been written. 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed that Fulan is going to make dua. And because of that dua, he will get this and that. So Ibn Qayyim says, it's like two qadr that are written, but at the same time, 50,000 years. It's not like now he make it, and now Allah SWT is asking the angel to change that which was written 50,000 years. So when the time for the qadr to take place, the second one will happen, not the first one. To get an idea. This is to reconcile between this and the nusus that are saying that Allah SWT has qadr cannot be changed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes something, it has to take place. Especially when it comes to the matter of the qadr kawni. These ones, even Allah, He Himself, what we know concerning the qadr kawni, Allah doesn't change them. They have to happen, even if He doesn't like them. There are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't like, but they must happen because He wants them to happen in that way. Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. He says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, they will never fight each other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a doer of whatever he wishes. Companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when they fought each other during the battle of Jamal and Safin, Allah loves that. No. By the nusus of the Sharia, Allah doesn't want to see Muslims fighting each other. Even a normal Muslim also is wrong for us to fight. You know, fighting can be the cause of loss, you know, for the... what you call, of the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that take place on Thursday and Monday. A person can lose that, those people who are fighting each other. So to have a fighting amongst the companions, this is greater than any other. Because those are the role model for us. It's a qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's going to happen. You know? And it happened. Al-Hussein was killed. Who killed him? Not somebody from out of our ummah. In the ummah itself, they killed the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, to kill a normal person is enough, a big sin in the eyes of Allah, very big sin. You know. These guys, they killed the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Islam says he's one of them, the most disciple that looks like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah. Allah knows this will happen. Even he told the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the house of one of his wives, and then Al-Hussein came. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked him up. So Jibreel told him, "You love him so much." He said, "Yes." He said, "But your ummah are going to kill him." Subhanallah. He knows. And this is exactly what happened. Exactly. And he even showed him the place where he will be killed. So I want us to understand that Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kawni cannot be changed. Yeah, it goes in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed it. Those people who are not happy to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remain depressed forever and ever and ever. So back to the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah qaddara maqadira al-khalqi qabla maqadira al-khalqi qabla an yakhluqa maqadira al-khalaiq qabla an yakhluqa as-samawati wal-ardi bi 50,000 sana wa kana arshuhu ala al-ma. And the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on water. Yeah, that's why some scholars, most of them actually believe that the arsh was the first thing to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the creation. Yani the best answer to this is Allahu A'lam. Yani, but if you are to accept that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awwalu shay'in khalaqahu Allahu al-qalam, because the word shay' closes the debate amongst the scholars. You have awwala or awwalu shay'in, awwala shay'in, awwala ma khalaq Allahu al-qalam, then it should be interpreted as the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen upon its creation is to do this and that. If you read it, awwalu ma khalaq Allahu al-qalam, then it will be the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is the pen. So having that narration, for those who see it as authentic, awwalu shay'in khalaqahu Allahu al-qalam, then it closes the debate that the pen is the first thing. But at the end of the day, we say what? Allahu a'lam. As these are the matters where the significance in discussing them is not that much in terms of increase in iman or decrease in the iman. So the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and the arsh is the biggest creation to our knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about. Arsh is the biggest creation to our knowledge. We don't know anything beyond that. But we say what? Wallahu a'lam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And then from time to time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with us according to the capacity of our aql, what our aql can understand. Because this arsh, subhanAllah, as the companion said, لا يقدر قدره إلا الله عز وجل. You Allah. And that's why, and if you see the kursi, all the samawat is seven. You know the samawat? The first one is much bigger than the dunya of ours, like a ring in a desert. And if you take this, the first one, and put it in the second one, the second one is so big in comparison to the first one. The first one will be like a small ring in the desert. And if you take the second one and put it in the third one, the second one also will disappear. And there we go until you go to the seven, heaven, number seven, you know. And you, Allah, if a person is honest to himself, you know, subhanAllah, what is the size of the heaven number seven then? And this heaven number seven, if you take it and put it in the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the companion said, "Wal kursi mawdi'ul qadamain," the position of the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you take the whole the samawati sabah, you know, all of them and put them in the kursi, you look for them, you cannot find them. They disappear, you know. So big, you know. And if you are not tired, take the kursi and put it in the arsh. That's why, I guess, that companion, when he was describing this, he says, Al-Kursiyu mawdi'u al-qadamain wal-arshu la yuqaddiru qadrahu illa Allahu Azza wa Jal. He says, Kursi is mawdi'u al-qadamain, and the arsh, nobody can give you the right estimate of the arsh except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Kursi, if you take Kursi and put it in the arsh, it would disappear. This is the one that we are dealing with, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of this, that's why he said, ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدِ. You know, Allah wants you to understand who he is. He said he is the creator of the arsh. If you want to know, then go and understand what is Arsh. And then the one who created the Arsh, then you, I think you will shake your head and understand that, yes, you really need to be very careful. As he says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَأَحْذَرُوهُ. You should know that Allah SWT knows that which is in your heart, and therefore you should be very careful. He said, be very careful. So you're dealing with Allah SWT. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرَحَ. So I guess this is the best place, inshallah, to stop. Unfortunately, there are some people who have right over me. They want me to test them today. Right? So I did not publish the test. I have to go home early before the time to do it. So let's move to question and answers, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I read when we transfer.
Should I say he's wrong?
I read when we transfer money to someone, it must happen on the spot, hand to hand. Right now, so right now I have two options: telegraphic transfer with the RM10 charge. And the money will be sent directly to the person's bank account abroad, but it will take 3 days. Or a Western Union, which is instant transfer, but there will be a charge of RM200 to transfer the money. Am I allowed to use Telegram transfer as it's not instant transfer, meaning hand to hand?
Yeah. Islamically, whenever a currency exchange takes place, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا اخْتَلَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافُ فَبِيعُوا كَيْفَ شِئْتُمْ إِذَا كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ. They have different currencies being exchanged, you know, dollars and ringgit and rial, you know. Then it is okay to increase either one. I'm going to send 200 ringgit, but they will give me 150 rial, you know. It's fine. There is no problem with that. But he says, إِذَا كَانَ يَدًا بِيَدٍ. It has to be hand to hand. And he says, يَدًا بِيَدٍ. Hand to hand. Yeah, we know last hand. He said hand to hand. So that's why make it on the spot to deliver it to that person. On the spot, it is necessary. On the spot means right now, he gives you now, you transfer to him right now. You put it in your account, you put it in his account immediately. Yeah. So I don't want to use names of companies and all of these things, but anyone who is transferring money like this is the one that a person should go with. If there is a delay, then what the person does is to send the currency, the same currency, to another place. Don't change. Initiate the process of changing the money in the bank or in wherever you're going. Just give them that money and ask them to send the same money to that country. In a way, if he goes to the bank will tell him, we receive 1,000 ringgit from Malaysia. And they're in Saudi, for instance. He told him, we receive 1,000 ringgit from Malaysia. We will put it in your account. Of course, if they put it in the account, they're going to change it at that time and put it immediately. That time, this is the time when the exchange is taking place. And as long as they put it in his account immediately, then he's the only, according to the system, he's the only one who have access. Even the bank doesn't have a right to take it by right, you know. Yeah.
They can freeze any account they want anytime.
By law?
By law.
But they shouldn't.
Because it's a law.
They shouldn't, because those digit in my account, when they come, it shouldn't reduce without my permission. Even
they can just block it.
Blocking, if that is an issue to block it, this one, no problem.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah.
Like Afghanistan
lost
all the...
I was
really... 9 billion in the US, they just closed it.
Yeah, Yeah. This other, subhanAllah, the efficiency that this system is having. But what I'm addressing is, if let's say blocking the account is based on something that happens and they block it, we go with the norm. And the individual, when we save our money and throughout our life, your account is always there, your money is always there. The digit, whenever it comes, nobody touch it. Even when somebody send money, for him to get it back from your account is a long process, even with your permission to remove it, unless if you are going to send it back to him. But so the hukum remains like that, as long as they are going to do the exchange on the spot, and put the money there on the spot, then the exchange is not between the first sender. It's between you, that bank that received the money, and the receiver. Do you get the idea? They put it in the account immediately. So you can close an eye and say, okay, this is taqabud, between him and the bank, because it's like putting the money in a place where he's the only one who should have access to that place. Do you get the idea? Yeah. However, if he's going to send, as I said, the correct way is to send riyal, and the money should reach that place riyal. Even if that money is going to take a longer duration, yeah, it should be fine. Yeah, the way they see it, they say when you give him the ringgit and tell them to send this ringgit to another country, to get an idea. So he's providing a service for you. Whatever charges he has, this is his own service fee. The duration to take the money to that place doesn't necessarily matter. But when you start telling him how much is the conversion, and he's telling you the conversion, then that means you guys are engaging in a currency exchange. And as such, the correct method, which they don't like, is to give him the ringgit, take the riyal or the dollars with your hand, and then give him back the dollars. And then people will make a video of you and say, this is a cartoon show, what is this, And then give him back the dollars and tell him, send these dollars to so-and-so-and-so person. Yeah. That's a correct approach, which, subhanAllah, many, only a few are talking about this. So it becomes, I don't know what to call it, which makes some think that this matters that we just have to close our eyes. There is no way for us to live except with them. They call them market norms. Yeah, through 3 days, this is acceptable by the market, and as such, it's not riba. That's a joke. A riba is riba whether it is a culture of people or not. In the house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even among some of his family members in the past, they're doing the riba before Islam, Al-Abbas. He says, أول ربا أضعه تحت قدمي وربا عمي أباس. The first riba I canceled, he said, the riba of my uncle Al-Abbas. The cultural practice in that place is riba, 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 riba. And the Prophet also did not hesitate to cancel it. And then somebody will tell me today there is something called culture of practice in riba. What is this, So the correct approach is to have it instantly. Transfer and get your money. Even in Western Union, you have to take it. Because it's in their system, not your system. You just have access to take it from their system. No, you have to take it from them immediately. Yeah. So that's why if you send money to somebody, tell him to go and meet you there in the place. He go to the place where he receives, and then you go to the place. By the time you fill the forms, he also did that. When you send it, it takes, I think, a few minutes, right? To be in the system, he just withdraw and go. That's the least we can do. Only when somebody there is no any other way except this, and he has to leave, and there is no way for him to get his right except this, then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. That's the last question. Say yes. Oh. Oh, that's the last question.
Yeah, last question.
Oh, that's so discounted, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if nobody has question here, then we close the class. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.